Today, President Trump going down to Miami and announcing that he is throwing out President Obama's what he called one-sided deal with Cuba. Pedro Roig was there, senior research associate at the Institute for Cuban and Cuban American Studies at the University of Miami. Pedro is a lawyer, author, and also a Bay of Pigs veteran. Pedro, thank you for joining us on WILS.
It's a pleasure always to be with you, Mike.
Yes, so is that a fair assessment to call what President Obama was doing a one-sided deal with Cuba?
Yes, it was a one-sided deal. It was obvious. The Castro regime did not have to provide anything in return for the concessions. And actually, the repression in Cuba has increased dramatically.
What do you mean? How do you detect that?
Well, you can see it by, and actually this is documented today with the cellular videos. You can see the arrest when, for example, the ladies in white, they march every Sunday from church to their homes as they are marching with flowers in their hands. And now every Monday you could see the videos of how they have been beaten up and arrested and put in police vans. So this is the repression is very much present in Cuba.
Here's a little bit of what President Trump said today. I want to do the enforce clip, Johnny. Here's what he wants to do. He basically said this is the new changes we're going to have with Cuba.
We will very strongly restrict American dollars flowing to the military. We will enforce the ban on tourism. We will enforce the embargo.
Well, now what is that going to do, Pedro, if we enforce go ahead.
Let me separate so your audience could understand. Yes, he's doing this, meaning every deal and business with the militaries in Cuba that control over 70% of the Cuban economy in a super corporation called Gaesa. Okay. Actually, it's run by Raúl Castro's son-in-law, General Luis Alberto Rodriguez.
And you're saying we can get money into Cuba and avoid this massive company or corporation?
Well, no, that's the part that President Trump is canceling, meaning business with the Cuban militaries. Now, what your audience must understand also is President Trump is allowing the flow of monies from the families in the U.S. or other parts of the world to their families in Cuba.
So you can send them money directly into their bank accounts, essentially?
Exactly. Okay. So it is called in Spanish remesas, which is the flow of money going from families in the U.S. to Cuba. That has not been prohibited.
Yeah, and the Cuban government doesn't get their hands on that, you're saying?
Well, they could charge a certain amount, like a tax, but the money, most of the money, I would say, or 90% of the money, goes to the family.
On that point,
the human part of that political issue has been kept in place.
Right. But here's what I want to know, Pedro. As a Cuban-American, why do you want to see a ban on tourism and a ban on access to Cuba yourself?
Well, this is the issue. Cuba is a military dictatorship. And it is. I mean, nobody, not even them, discussed that. The Cuban Constitution says that the Communist Party is the ultimate authority, the highest authority of the Cuban state. So, and private property.
It's a given, but don't Cuban Americans want access? Don't they want to be able to go to Cuba and see family members?
No, the problem is that they can go, and that has not been. The Cuban American travel to Cuba has not been eliminated. So, the remesas, meaning money to your families in Cuba, plus your trips to see your families Those are in place.
Okay.
The human side of that part has not been touched. Now, the business, the credit to the militaries are being cut. As we speak, the president signed the order canceling business with the Cuban military.
Okay. Now, tell me this. Pedro Rogge, by the way, with us. He's a Bay of Pigs veteran, and he's with the Cuban and Cuban-American Studies at the University of Miami. Raul Castro, he's running things, right?
Right. Raul Castro is the Secretary General of the Communist Party.
What do you expect Cuba to do as a reaction to this?
On their reaction, I believe, I don't think it will be as ferocious, as violent, if it were Fidel, the one responding. I believe that Raul Castro's reaction will be more moderate in the answer to the President Trump's speech. By the way, President Trump's speech had remarked like, this is a regime with their hands, blood in their hands.
Right.
It called them the criminal regime. The answer would have been an explosion of adjectives against President Trump. I believe Raul Castro might moderate his answer.
Interesting. And obviously, this has been an ongoing issue for decades. Now, we've had an embargo in place for so many decades. What do you think this new approach is? I mean, I guess it's an old approach, but reinstating our position with Cuba, what's that really going to do to the Castros?
Look, the embargo was not touched by the Obama presidency because the embargo is a U.S. Law approved by the Congress. So President Obama, like President Trump, are working the Cuban issues through presidential executive orders.
Okay.
The embargo was in place and is in place. Nobody had touched, and President Trump is not touching the embargo. But Obama neither touched the embargo. So there is no change because it was never touched by Obama.
So here's what President Trump, a little piece of President Trump today in Miami. Pedro Rogge was there himself. Here's what he said he wants to see Cuba do.
To the Cuban government, I say release the political prisoners. Stop jailing innocent people. Open yourselves to political and economic freedoms.
Now, Pedro, how likely is any of that to happen?
Well, that's very unlikely because Cuba, they do have their plans of succession. And they were counting on Hillary Clinton winning the election, the presidential election, and continued Obama's policy. For Cuba, the arrival of Trump to the White House has been a very bad news. On top of that, the crisis in Venezuela is cutting deeply into the Cuban financial help because Venezuela was providing not only oil, but on top of that, resources to the amount of over $10 billion. Mm-hmm. That has been cut to about right now, maybe $3 or $4
billion. From $10 billion to
Cuban
$3 or $4
economy,
yeah,
right. The Cuban economy is very fragile.
So what does that mean? Are you envisioning some kind of a bloody revolution there? What do you see happening?
No. I think as the elder leadership, which runs, they are around 85 years of age, 85 years old, maybe 89. As they disappear the next 2 or 3 years, we might begin to see a new approach, Cuba versus the U.S. And it was a good sign that President Trump says we are willing to sit and negotiate, because just the word "we're willing to sit and negotiate," he put his premises, democracy, allowed private property, etc. But the word "we are ready and willing to negotiate," the next generation might get this offer and negotiate.
Pedro, when you look at the Cuban people, do you think they do they feel loyalty towards the Castros, towards their leadership? I mean, how do they view President Trump?
Look, the problem in Cuba is they lost the charismatic leader. Fidel Castro is gone. And part of the magic of the regime over the people was the charisma of Fidel Castro. That is gone. Mm-hmm. Second, they threw in the ideology, the Marxist ideology. In the 1960s, 70s, and even coming into early 80s, it was very popular, not only in Cuba, but in many other parts of the world. Mm-hmm. Today, that ideology has died.
Really? Even in Cuba, you're saying Marxism
right,
is dead.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And the new generation don't have a leadership of the stature of the charisma of Fidel Castro, nor the ideology. So I am beginning to see the signs of a new generation willing and ready for changes.
Well, once they get, full-on internet access, I'm sure that things will change very quickly. But what kind of a reception did the president get in Miami today? You were right there yourself.
Yes, I was there, and I can tell you his body language, not only his words, were very close to the word freedom, justice, democracy, and also something like, for example, for Raul Castro and the military regime, President Trump point to the family of the brother to the rescue that were murdered.
Right.
From
just seeing the video, it looked like people were essentially cheering at every word he said. Was it just a love fest, essentially?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yes, and also he also introduced some of the political prisoners, people that were men and women. He also brought to the podium a lady that spent 20 years on Cuban prisons just for saying we wish to live in a free Cuba. Right. So those symbols, President Trump used very well this symbols of freedom and fighters, which for the Castro regime, the Raul Castro and the military, is anathema. Yeah. They are their enemies. So,
they are with the president. And it'll be interesting to see how Raul responds. Probably he's a bit intimidated by our president now. right? I mean, one last thing, Pedro, or you agree with that?
Yeah,
I mean that's the thing about President Trump. I mean, once if it's a potential serious conflict, I'm sure these foreign leaders are a little sheepish to do that, right?
Right. Look, the problem right now is the Cuban economy has entered a very fragile time. Hmm. The water is contaminated because the good water and the dark water are now getting the tubes, all the system infrastructure, water infrastructure is collapsing.
Bad. Really, no so kidding. It sounds like the Flint water crisis.
It's huge. Those that travel to Cuba, they don't have the slightest idea how dangerous could be. Mm-hmm.
Tourists. No, and the tourists probably show up, think everything's fine, and little do they know. Look, Pedro Roig is the senior research associate at the Institute for Cuban and Cuban American Studies at the University of Miami, a Bay of Pigs veteran himself, historian, lawyer also. Pedro, great to have you on WILS. Thank you.
Thank you, like always. Yep.